I'm fairly certain that any preacher will tell you that as soon as you call the congregation a brood of vipers, they pretty much won't hear anything else you say after that. But actually, John's message, I believe, is one of inspiration. And somehow, the people managed to hear that. They got past the vipers' comment, and they're now filled with hope. Go figure. How did that happen? Is there a chance that we too have been hearing it wrong all these years? On the surface, it seems like just a terrible insult. But John might have had something else in mind, if you know anything about vipers. If Merlin Perkins of Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom were still around, he would explain that when vipers are hatched, they stay together until they begin to mature. But if something threatens them, they spread out and flee. By the time John was preaching in the wilderness, seeds of Jewish rebellion had long ago been planted, and now those seeds have begun to sprout up. Tensions were building in Jerusalem, which would eventually lead to a Jewish revolt and a crushing victory by the Romans. And so the people coming out to see John sensed this mounting danger and are leaving the comfort and security of their lives in the city for a little refuge in the wilderness and in the hope of finding this prophet. Brood of vipers might be more of a description than an insult. Anyway, in the midst of this upheaval and insecurity, they asked John, "What should we do?" His answer is surprisingly tame for the supposed fiery prophet. "If you have two coats," he says, "if you have extra food, give it to those who don't have any. If you're a tax collector, don't take extra money for yourselves. If you're a soldier, don't extort money from those you're supposed to protect." There's nothing new here in John's message. These are basic Jewish expectations for how to treat one another. And frankly, it's kind of a low bar coming from someone who is supposed to be so extreme. John is basically saying, take care of one another in this time of change. Let go of what you don't need, especially the stuff in your heart that's keeping you from loving God and loving your neighbor. Throw out all of that chaff and let it burn away. John's message is a good word for us, too. We are in a time of great change ourselves, upheaval. Everything seems to be changing around us, and we don't know what things will look like as we go forward. And church is no exception. Like the residents of Jerusalem in the first century, it's tempting to scatter and isolate just to take care of ourselves and our own. But the ancient wisdom still applies to stay together in community and to do it well according to those divine standards set out for us by the law and the prophets. Anyway, it's a good place to start under any circumstance. As John reminds his congregation of these basic guidelines, Luke tells us that the people came out to see him, filled with expectation. They even wonder if John is the promised one, the Messiah, the one who will fulfill all their hopes. What John says next in the wilderness is the most important thing of all. He says there is one coming who is more powerful, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There is one who will bring the fullness of the ancient prophet's vision to life. There is one who is coming who will fulfill our deepest hope. We may still be waiting this Advent, and we might be tempted to scatter in the face of uncertainty all around us. But John reminds us to stay together. The Advent season is a time of complete dependence on God, where we must passively wait and hope for salvation to come to us from outside of ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer described this most fittingly. He said, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent." What John the Baptist preaches is the essence of Advent. Jesus, who is the embodiment of everything Isaiah and John and all the prophets hoped for, is coming into the world. We are invited to throw our faith into that miracle of God becoming flesh to heal ourselves and the world. In the words of former presiding bishop Catherine Jeffers Shorey, "Advent is the season when Christians are called to live with more hope than the world thinks is reasonable." Amen.